You are listening to the Team Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers and the people who have dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that our work with flowers matters, and we're cheering each of you on. Kelly is your host today, and she's chatting with Amy Balsters. Amy is an acclaimed floral designer and educator with vast industry experience spanning 2 decades in retail floristry and special events. Currently, Amy teaches and trains floral designers across the country through private and group workshops, as well as speaking at conferences worldwide. She is even speaking at the Team Flower Conference in 2020 in Pasadena. Featured on Design Sponge as one of the 20 florists to follow on Instagram, Amy's work has been featured and published in major international and national wedding blogs, including Martha Stewart Weddings, Once Wed, and more. In this episode, Kelly and Amy are talking about being intentional in your work with flowers and recognizing the healing power that flowers hold. Amy is sharing her recent curiosities and discoveries regarding the chain of supply of flowers, and she's chatting about how the practices we utilize today will impact the future of the industry. You'll be inspired as she talks about staying curious and researching, plus asking questions, and how that has kept her work with flowers fresh and exciting for 20 years. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower, an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. We provide online classes, in-person events, and weekly free resources designed to support you in your flower journey. Whether you're a professional florist, flower farmer, or simply love flowers, there's space for you here. Come join the party at teamflower.org.
Hey, Amy, it's so great to have you back on the podcast today. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Kelly. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, if you are tuning into the Team Flower podcast for the first time, Amy has been a guest before, so you can scroll back through your episodes if you'd like to hear more from her. We talk about her background in the floral industry and some specific projects that she has had for some corporate companies, things like that. We talk about shadows and, oh, just so many different great things about ingredients and designs. And it's one of those episodes that I always remember and think back on that I find inspirational. She's, Amy, you're such a great designer, and I love studying and just like reading your work. It's very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody like me who really loves to sort of take a piece of work apart and think through the thought behind it, it's like very intriguing and interesting for me because I know there's always a surprise hidden in there for me somewhere.
Wow. That's a huge compliment.
I think I love reading the work almost as much as I love making it. So I think it's so fun to see what you make. You're very, very creative.
Wow. That's a huge compliment. Thank you. I feel like I'm blushing right now. I'm like, ooh, thank you, Kelly. That's a huge compliment. And that's something I talk so much about when I teach, is like intentionality and telling a story through our work. And I think that for me, flowers has always been more than just, you know, shoving things in vases. It's always been about this deeper connection to this living, breathing thing that exists and how I can communicate a message with others with that work. And so really refining. And so that is a tremendous compliment to me in so many more ways than just like, oh, thanks, you love my work. It's like you're understanding that there's an intentionality there with truly every single thing I touch. So that means so much to me that you're seeing that, because that's really the goal, I think, whenever I pick up flowers. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are so many things that we can say through our work with flowers. It is so much more than like you said, just flowers in a vase. Let's chat a little bit more about that and just, you know, maybe your perspective on why you think flowers matter.
I'm going to start crying already. I'm like, oh boy, I love that question. And I think that for me, nature has always been a place of refuge. When I was really little, I do not have many childhood memories. I don't remember a lot about friends or home life. I honestly just don't have a lot of memories, but I can tell you really distinct memories about what kind of flowers were growing in my yard, or what kind of grass we had, or what kind of trees were around. And I think I've had this really deep connected magnetism towards nature, just respecting its ability to, I think, heal us in many ways. And I know that there are others who feel that way. And I personally feel like sometimes people find themselves attracted to floral design because they're either looking for healing or they're looking for a deeper connection to something that's maybe even greater than themselves. And I think that there's just something so magnetic about nature that just has this ability to give us peace, that there's a restorative quality. And also, I mean, I'm about to get woo-woo here, but you know, there's an energy in the earth. There's truly a, you know, a positive and a negative charge in everything. And when we actually touch flowers, when we touch the soil and the leaves, there is actually an energy transfer, I believe, that we take on. And so from a physical standpoint, I think flowers can actually contribute to our literal healing. But I think from an emotional and mental standpoint, there is real healing that I think can be done. And so when we talk about why our work matters, I love that you are just like a huge messenger of that. Like, our work matters. Our work with flowers matters. It's not this kind of trivial little thing. You know, I think in our country, it's really commodified. And in other countries, it's so much more valued. It's really elevated to just this professional artistry that I think sometimes we struggle with gaining that kind of understanding in our country. But if you're a florist and you love your work, you resonate with this. You understand the healing power of somebody coming in and ordering flowers, even for some small celebration, their ability to connect with each other, getting a wrist corsage for prom. I mean, that was the most exciting thing about prom, was picking out your flower. For me, it was picking out this flower element that I got to wear. I've heard just some of the most beautiful stories of women and men receiving flowers when they've lost a loved one. And I met a woman recently in New York City. I was at a book signing for a really well-known florist, and she came up to me. We started talking, and she said, "Oh, I love your work. You know, I would love to take one of your classes one day." And I said, "Oh, that's so kind." You know, I was really tired, long day of travel. And I was like, "That's nice. That's nice." And she said, you know, I kind of just mentioned, "So how long have you been doing flowers?" And she said, "Well, you know, I got into this because my daughter passed away. You know, she was only 8 or 9 years old. And the flowers I received at her funeral, I was just in my apartment alone, and I was surrounded by these flowers, and I felt not alone." And I just started weeping with this stranger, and I gave her a big hug, and I just, you know, we just had a much deeper conversation after that about the healing power of flowers. And it was I cannot stop thinking about that woman and her story, because she started literally a career change because of this impact of having these sympathy flowers around her and just feeling so loved and connected and comforted by these flower arrangements. So I think that when we talk about why our work matters, when we, you know, share with others around why our work matters, I think it's important to remember the power that they really have in communicating and expressing love and connection with others, and oftentimes healing. And so I think there's dozens and probably hundreds of stories like that in the world every day of somebody feeling seen because they received flowers, or feeling acknowledged or known better because they received flowers. And some people, you know, they're not flower people, and that's okay. Everybody receives love differently, but I think that's why our work matters, is that it's about connecting with each other. And I think that's the component that speaks to me, at least in my work. Mm-hmm.
I resonate with that so much, the power of connection that something like that brings, that's beautiful. And goodness, I just think about like how many there's a zillion flowers out there in the world, and just the simple act of picking one up, a dandelion, up out of the ground and holding it close to your heart on a day that you aren't feeling so well. You know, like just the simple, just that simple action, I feel like can be so moving and help you during times whenever things aren't feeling so great or so good, to remember that you are loved, you are loved, you are loved. And I think as flower people, we have an eye to notice that the dandelion is there where other people might not notice that it's there. And so we get to be this very intentional bridge of, here's just the bridge between those two places. And like that phrase that you said really stands out to me, that you're seen. Me grabbing this flower and handing it to you and knowing that like someone saw me today when I'm feeling so alone, when I'm feeling like I'm surrounded by people, but nobody actually has taken the time to look me in the eye or in the face. I mean, flowers can go through drive-through windows. They can go,
yeah.
You know, they can literally, like, you can just be walking into, you know, my mom is fighting cancer right now. And so sometimes on the way into her treatments, it's really easy just to like pick, you know, a little weed or something out of the parking lot patch and like hand it to somebody that's coming out of the building that probably just got maybe some bad news. Those are the places, the things that when I think back, you know, there did flowers for weddings for a long time. That's one way that you can have a life with flowers. But I feel like in times when I felt really burnt out in maybe just running, having just that one moment to pull up the dandelion and to receive it and pulling up that one dandelion and to the person who really wasn't expecting it but needed it that day, those are the things that I feel like have been really important actions in fighting burnout and helping with sustainability in a business so that work with flowers can continue. So,
I mean, if you think about it also, you know, I have a 5.5-year-old and you have a little baby and she's going to start walking and toddling around. And obviously we love flowers, so I'm sure they've heard us and seen us talk about it. But, you know, I didn't have to tell my son, go out into the yard and find a flower and pick it for me. He, you know, when he was 2 years old or 1.5 years old, you know, he would pick something from the yard and bring it to me. And I find that fascinating that I didn't have to teach him or communicate, mommy would love if you went and picked her a flower. It was an innate sense of, this is something beautiful that I want to gift to my mom. And if it was a humble little daisy in the yard, he obviously saw my reaction and that affirmed, hey, this is a good thing to do. You know, my mom loved this, but I didn't initially teach him to do that. And so I just think there's this really interesting human connection to flowers that, like you mentioned, sometimes just requires us opening our eyes. Even as simple as, you know, when you're driving at a stoplight, look to the left and the right and allow what is growing on either side of the road to just receive the beauty of that. I live in the DC area. I just moved from Los Angeles. I sit in so much traffic. And oftentimes, if I'm just simply aware of what's growing around me, I am receiving the beauty of that in a stressful or anxious moment. I don't even necessarily have to touch it. And I think that can be such a powerful shift in just seeing the beauty of the world around us and just honoring the fact that it often, I think, can be there as a healing presence for us. And that is something that requires, I think, being just pausing and just simply turning your head. And I've had some friends say, oh, you know, ever since I got to know you, I really notice now the roses. I notice the things blooming. I think, oh, that's a jacaranda tree. I think Amy loved those. You know, it's interesting that even our ability as florists, we can sort of spread and share not just physical flowers, but an idea of simply opening our eyes to the beauty of the world that's already existing in our space, whether you live in North Dakota or Utah or whatever. There is beauty literally everywhere. That's just the way the world is designed. And so it's just, I find that fascinating that there's already, I think, built into us as human beings, an appreciation for flowers. We as florists, you know, get to sort of cultivate that in our communities and our world, but it already exists, I think, internally.
Yeah. You know? It's just helping. I think it is, we get the opportunity to help people make that connection with something that is already in them or wake up something that's there, you know?
Yes.
And I think that's a part of the process, maybe in the shift or the change that we'd like to see happen with the way that flowers are viewed or treated in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. You know, you had mentioned about it feeling, you know, in many ways that it's been commoditized and that kind of culture of living with or amongst the flowers or whatever has, you know, maybe, I don't know if it was, I don't know if it was ever here. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure in some people's, I know for a fact in some people's lives, it very, very much is something that's there, but I think that it's there because it's been cultivated and called out, you know, maybe by a mother or a grandmother or something that's been maybe passed down generationally that was woken up or brought from somewhere at some time. And so I think that we can't overlook that opportunity that we have in just very small ways to call out and cultivate a love of flowers for the people that are around us, our families, our communities, and those we meet and greet in other places as well.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Creating Inspired Designs, a fast-track online class designed to set you free in your work with flowers. Nurturing creativity in our lives is important. Designing arrangements that our clients both love and that we're excited about is important too. If you've ever experienced that tension between what you'd like to create and what your client needs, this class will help. Together, we'll go on a journey in creative expression. We'll explore our personal design philosophies, learn how to break out of creative ruts, and step out from under the weight of perfectionism. We'll cover both client and personal arrangements and learn techniques for bridging the gaps between these two types of work. If you're ready to get back to creating from a place of joy and inspiration, you can learn more at teamflower.org/online.
Well, I would love to know if there are maybe, well, let's shift over. I want to know if you have had any discoveries in the world of flowers that you are excited about lately. It could be anything, anything at all. Gosh. Ugh. Does anything come to mind?
I love that.
Flower discovery.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Flower. There should be like a hashtag segment, you know, lights and flower discovery. Yeah. I think for me, so I'm in such a period of shifting and transitioning, as you know. So Kelly and I recently ran into each other in Las Vegas, Nevada, of all places, at the AIFD Symposium, which is the American Institute of Floral Design, and didn't know we were going to be, you know, didn't know she was going to be there. We kind of ran into each other. We just got a chance to like connect. And it was so nice to catch up with her and kind of hear what's been going on with her. But we both, you know, used to be full-time wedding florists, and we both are mostly now in education and teaching. But I'm not a full-time wedding florist anymore. I've really pivoted to teaching and education and doing some consulting on the side. And so my hands are not touching flowers every day like they used to. And it's been such an interesting shift because for so many years, I've been on kind of autopilot, if you will. You know, you get your stuff, but you do your ordering, you get your stuff in, you get the vases, you put out the fires, you do the delivery, you deal with the payment. And I really am in such a completely different place in my business where I am mostly doing workshops now and teaching and guest speaking and stuff like that. And so my focus is talking a lot about flowers, but not as much doing flowers. And so it's really interesting because I've sort of taken this a lot more of a philosophical path into, just like you, I'm such a lifelong learner, and I really want to understand the why behind everything with flowers. And so lately, I've been thinking much more holistically about flowers. I have a really good friend here in Virginia who is a permaculture expert, and getting to know her, she's one of the top florists in the country. Year after year, she's rated the top 62 from Martha Stewart, and she's just an incredible, brilliant mind. And something that I've connected with her about and really learned from her is just thinking about like whole systems thinking. You know, where our flowers come from, sort of what the after effect is of them. And you're a huge proponent for slow flowers. I'm late to the train on this in terms of sustainability, but I'm so fascinated by this idea of not just American grown, but how we're affected by the chemicals that are sprayed on our flowers, how the earth is, you know, being impacted by the, you know, lack of sustainability in our industry. I'm really curious about some of these bigger questions. And I think just the impact that they're having on us and you know, the environment around us. So I've been really curious about that, asking a lot more questions, doing my own research. And I don't want to be dogmatic about any aspect of it. I think, you know, I am in full support of florists. And my hope and joy is to support florists and to encourage them, to help teach them, to be a source of guidance in terms of educational resources. So I don't want to, you know, be dogmatic by saying this is right and this is wrong. I want to just stay curious about this world of understanding how we can make less of an impact, a negative impact, and more of a positive impact. So how we get there, you know, can sometimes we can disagree or agree on how we get there. But that's been sort of my biggest, I think, curiosity lately is trying to better understand that world. You know, I came up in floral design school almost 20 years ago. I lived, you know, always had my flowers shipped in, or living in the LA flower market. You know, a lot of that's locally grown, but a lot of it's not. And so what does that mean for the next generation of florists? You know, more and more people are interested in caring about this conversation. They're talking about it. Their customers are talking about it. People care. And I applaud that, because I think Shane Connolly does such a fantastic job talking about this. He was the florist in the UK who did the royal wedding of Kate Middleton. And he does such an amazing job talking about our job with flowers, if we're just kind of going through these motions of doing flowers and never thinking about the impact that we're having. You know, it almost feels a little bit, can't remember his words exactly, but he explains it so perfectly in terms of looking at the natural world, considering sustainability in our work without considering it. Almost feels like, gosh, what are we doing? You know, we're working with this beautiful medium, but then if we're not ever considering the impact, how is that? How do we sort of reconcile those two things? And he's so gracious about how he talks about it. He's not, you know, coming out to blast anyone. He's really, I think, challenging for us in an important conversation. I have felt personally challenged by it and more curious, honestly, because of him. So let's go listen to his interviews. I think he's just doing a fantastic job of carrying this conversation well and respectfully. And so I'm considered, something he's also talked about is, and I've heard you mention this, Kelly, is really like, as a florist, I never had a garden. I never really have grown anything. I don't have that skill. I would love to learn. I think I'm, you know, written myself off as somebody who's like, oh, I have a black thumb, you know, give them to me after they're cut. But I, moving to Virginia, we bought a home with a little bit of land, and although I haven't planted much, there's already a lot here. And where I'm at in my flower journey is absolutely fascinated to see the true life cycle of a flower and a plant. We have four seasons here. I've, you know, lived in California most of my life where there's no seasons. And getting to really see something, you know, we have peonies in the yard. And I mean, I can't tell you how fascinating it was to me to watch this thing form in a bud shape and understand, oh, hey, I remember, you know, I've seen that. Oh, okay, that's what day four looks like. That's what day nine looks like. Oh, there it goes. I never knew they fell down to the ground and started rotting. You know, I've just kind of been leaving it all because I've been so intrigued. And it's really piqued my interest around designing in this capacity. I think I heard Nicolette Camille, who one of my favorite New York-based designers, talk about this once in her designing, where, you know, in an arrangement, she has multiple things in different stages. So she'll have something in a bud stage and something partially open, and then that same flower fully expressed, petals fully opened, to again sort of tell that story of what's happening out in the yard. All the peonies don't bloom at the same time. Some are still in bud form. Some haven't even popped into a bud yet. And then some are on the ground rotting. And so I think just being observant around, you know, if you're interested in diving a little deeper into your work, some people are fine. They're making a great living. They're making the same arrangement every week. And there's nothing wrong with that. I need a little more than that for my own sort of interest. And I think when you do it for so long, you do start to get bored and you're like, yeah, I'm cranking out the same thing every single week. What's kept me, I think, passionate for almost two decades doing this is those observations, is telling that story, is looking at the natural world and understanding, how do I communicate this best? What kind of interesting story can I do with this? And I think that right now we have more, we have more access to other people's work than we ever could dream of, you know, at the swipe of our finger. And I think it can be so inspiring and so debilitating all at the same time. And so I think being able to withdraw a bit from that constant intake of social media world through the web, you know, through website world, just the online world. It's like to be able to withdraw a bit and just simply look at the shape of a tree growing. Even if you're, I mean, I was in line at like a Del Taco once, and I love this story because it's like the most random thing. I love Del Taco. It's a Mexican chain in a fast food chain in the West Coast. And I'm sitting there and it's a gray day and this tree is just this crazy, like eucalyptus birch looking tree, has the most wild shape. And I am like hanging out half my window, straining my neck with my cell phone, trying to get a picture from this far away of this incredible silhouette, because I thought, what a fascinating shape that would make in an arrangement. And I think just simply observing, you know, what is around me right now, I'm a military wife. I get to move every 3 to 4 years. I live in different places every few years, and the landscape of those places changes, you know, quite drastically. And it really is so fascinating to see what grows here, like a weed, you know, things that I would have never dreamed of seeing. And so even if you're in the same place you've grew up in and you live there your whole life, I would stay really curious about, you know, what is coming up in the ditch weeds that maybe you didn't look at before, and experiment with them. And I think that can be so inspiring to stay interested, to stay refreshed. You know, you don't have to follow every single trend out there. You can make your own trends based on what is growing in your neighborhood, because that's the only, you know, you're the only one that has maybe bougainvillea growing, or you're the only one that has prairie grasses in abundance. You know, what can you do with that that can set your work apart? So I think for me, the curiosity of this new landscape has been the most interesting thing lately, and also just sustainability, permaculture. I don't claim to do those things perfectly, but I am more interested in them, researching them, talking about them, and trying to learn more about them as we kind of move forward. And also, as I've been graciously given a small platform, but a small platform of influence among my peers of teaching now and speaking, people are interested in what you have to say. And it's important that I think that we're using our platforms for good, not just, you know, to become famous or celebrities, you know, floral celebrities, but, you know, how are we moving the industry forward when you're given a platform to talk about these things. So I feel like I have a personal responsibility to know more about this and to learn more about it, and also help introduce people that are already doing this so well, like Deborah Prinzing and Cheyenne Connolly and all these people who've been talking about this for years. You know, this isn't new. This has been around a long time. So yeah, I think those are my main curiosities these days.
Yeah, all of those are so, so good and so important. And one thing that you said, I feel like circles back to our first conversation about having eyes to see things. Whenever you were chatting about your new garden and growing and, you know, what's going on around you and those kinds of inspirational types of things, I feel like my very favorite work that I've ever done was probably the first year right before and during whenever I got started in flowers, because I was deeply, deeply curious about what was going on where I was and discovering all of these little things. Yes. You'll never run out of flowers. Like it doesn't matter. You can be 92 and had your, you know, hands in flowers your whole life. There will always be more. And I think there's so many more that haven't even been discovered or written down or, you know, put in a page yet. And it's so fun that we get to explore that world. But that is, you know, can I say it? It's just there's a peace and connectedness whenever it's just you're working with the things that I really do believe that everything that you need for the day that you are in, you have. Like, it's there. The money that you need will be there. Truly, if you just think about what do I need for today, I think that that we'll all find that we always have everything that we need. And anyway, with flowers and things like that, you know, just for different weddings or events or things, it was always kind of curious how maybe something didn't come in like I thought it would. But then I would look over and see, you know, my neighbor that had this perfect thing, and I'd get to meet a new friend, say, hey, and they give you $50 for some things from that bush. And they're like, you know, totally thrilled. Please take it all, you know, and you get to, to make those connections in your community at the same time. But I find it to be kind of, you know, you'll see something online that you really like, or, and you're like, oh gosh, like I can't get that, but I want it. And there's this loop that happens. That's just like, wait, like what's going on? You know, what do I have here? Yep. And just that shift can be really helpful and ties back into this sustainability piece that you're chatting about. There's so much to discover with that. And there's so many conversations that I believe will happen in the next few years that will be extremely positive, that no one needs to feel intimidated or that they're doing the wrong thing or that there's shame attached to it. I really just feel like that we are ready and mature enough to maybe have some conversations where we don't necessarily agree with. I feel like there's this whole thing where it's like in just in culture in general, it's like, express yourself, like speak your mind until you don't agree with me. And then I'm going to like get really mad behind closed doors. And it's like this false, it's like this false love. And like, we can't just pretend to love each other. We have to really love each other. And when we do, I feel like the traction and the energy that whenever we are all coming together, and even if we don't necessarily agree, the mutual love that can be there and the honor that can be there between all of us is extremely moving. And I think that those are some of the answers to the questions that we face. Like, we can work through conflict and still have good relationships on the other side. Like, we still can disagree or not understand each other fully, and we still can honor people. And so that's something that I would love to see.
Yes.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you in part by the Team Flower Conference, where flower lovers from all over the world gather together for education, connection, and celebration. Hear stage presentations from industry leaders on inspirational and educational topics in both design and business. Connect with like-minded professionals and think tank discussions, and share your own questions, dreams, and advice with your peers. Network with industry support, enjoy flower theme celebrations, and receive encouragement for wherever you are in your journey with flowers. At the Team Flower Conference, you'll have the opportunity to make history as together we create the future we want to see in the industry, one step at a time. Whether you're a farmer, florist, wholesaler, floral artist, or someone who just loves flowers, you're welcome here. There's something truly magical that happens when we all come together, and we'd love for you to join us. You can find the latest information at teamflower.org/conference.
I just have to tell your community, if they don't know you personally, that you are just a living, breathing, walking model of that. And I think I'm so grateful that you are part of our flower community, because you are showing up every day in that. You are not just talking the talk. And I think it's easy to, you know, assume things about people when they see them on the internet, or, oh, they're this or they're that. But I just want to affirm that if you don't know Kelly personally, I do. And I am just incredibly inspired by her ability to show up in that every day and really like walk the talk, because there are so many opportunities for our insecurity and our jealousy and our ego to just let that take over. And you are just truly, I think, a beacon of light for the floral community. And I am personally very grateful for you, and that you are just a leader for many of us. So thank you. And sorry to interrupt, but I want to make sure that people know that about you, because, you know, there's so much fluff out there, and you are just the real deal, my friend. So thank you for being a picture of that and for walking in that for us.
Yeah. Thank you for acknowledging that and seeing that. That means a lot to me. I receive it.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Oh, so good. Well, before we sign off today, I would love just to, well, gosh, do you have a minute? I just want to ask you one more question.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
When you reflect on all of your time in the floral industry, what's one thing that happened that wasn't funny then, but's funny now?
Oh, gosh. Whew. Man, let me think. And there's so many dozens, especially as a wedding florist. You're like, geez, it's such intense work. You know, it's like you're just every week you're like, am I going to pull this off? Oh, man. At least I was always felt that way.
Yes.
No. What wasn't funny then, man? I mean, I just think of this story. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't my wedding, but I've had a really robust freelance career for many, many years in many different states and traveling. And there was a wedding I did. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's probably 15 years ago now. Maybe 14 or 15 years ago. So this really fancy, very expensive hotel in South Orange County. And there was a huge team. I mean, it was probably 20 designers working on this. You know, I don't know what the budget was. It was crazy, crazy big. And, you know, you're overlooking this enormous, you know, this ocean. It was just an ocean view, and we're on this gorgeous lawn. And the hotel, the way the hotel was kind of structured, is it's kind of like a little bit of a U shape. So all the hotel rooms, everyone at the pool, everyone at the restaurants was all kind of facing this lawn that we were, you know, designing this enormous huppah and big arch. And the company that I was working for had a reputation of sort of, did a great reputation of doing big, beautiful things, but sometimes their mechanics were like a little shady and they just sometimes took a lot of shortcuts. And it was, you know, you were always kind of like, is this okay? And they're like, oh, it's fine. So we're setting this thing up and we get to the very end of it and we're talking, I mean, hundreds of stems of Phalaenopsis on this thing, giant pieces of driftwood, giant glass lanterns, like cantilevered. I mean, it was just this enormous thing. And me and another designer were working on this arch kind of at the end of the aisle while the rest of the designers were finishing the huppah. And minutes, we're talking minutes before the wedding started. I mean, guests were on the lawn, the bridal party was lined up. You know, we're kind of cleaning last bits and pieces off the lawn and kind of rushing off the lawn. The owner of the company finished laying the fabric over the top of this thing, and he went to lift up one of the corners of the huppah to tuck the fabric in because we're by the ocean. You know, you want the wind to knock it off. And the lifting of this one corner shifted the weight so extremely that the entire structure slams to the ground. I know, it's everyone having a heart attack. Slams to the ground. It literally, it sounded like an explosion because you have, I mean, I don't know, probably 30 bricks of oasis on this thing. The weight of it, the top, you know, it was just top heavy. And so glass has shattered. I mean, orchids are splayed around. I mean, I can laugh now because it's so many years later. But at the time, I mean, literally this entire resort, every person on the lawn, every staff member, you know, had a collective inhaled, you know, gasp of horror. Like just frozen, just complete frozen, you know, sheer panic, horror. I mean, it was just the worst possible scenario other than somebody being injured. But I mean, it was about as bad as it could get. And there was no salvaging this thing. You know, the way they had built this huppah, you know, let this be a word of warning, you know, mechanics, because they really had not secured this thing into these sort of tall tin, you know, containers they had used. They should have had a much different, you know, base for them. And in an instant, all of a sudden, you have just panic ensues. You know, you have hotel staff running the lawn, and we are literally just scooping armfuls of broken everything and just like literally throwing it off the lawn onto hotel carts. And I mean, the hotel was amazing. They really helped. But it was the worst experience. Then now I tell around bonfires. It's like a, you know, funny ha ha. That's just sort of everyone cringes and sort of holds their, you know, chest like, oh, ow, it's so painful. It hurts so much. But we took our arch, me and this other designer's arch that we had made and, you know, kind of dragged it up so they had something to get married under. Yeah, but they didn't have a chuppah. There were just glass shards on the grass. I mean, it was like, I stopped freelancing for that company after that event. I cannot take this sort of, you know, drama and shortcuts anymore. It's like, you guys, you know, I can't be a part of this anymore. But, you know, these are the stories that you just, that shape you as a designer, because you're like, man, I have survived some things. I have seen some things that, yeah, I mean, and I could tell, you know, dozens of stories like that, right? You know, I had a bad toe surgery and I'm, you know, it's pouring rain and there's lightning and this client wants a wedding set up outside and I'm literally limping around with my staff. We have metal ladders and it was just like, you know, it was just a nightmare. We're all so completely, you know, you just have these crazy things you survive in the wedding industry that, you know, become your funny stories that you just have to laugh about because you're like, man, you can't take yourself too seriously because you just have a nervous breakdown or a heart attack, you know?
Yes, the adrenaline is definitely real, especially on event setup days. And so finding ways mentally to redirect your thoughts or to really control that release of adrenaline is so important. In this whole like so lightning important. Rod arbor outside, like, you know, you're standing on this metal ladder, whatever. Like, like that is something that is so important to consider for your pre-wedding talks, like your contracts, all those things. I remember, I think it was like maybe my second wedding that I had ever done. I had something very similar that thankfully I didn't have a broken toe, but it was like the wedding's inside, the wedding's outside, the wedding's inside, the wedding's outside. And I didn't have that conversation. I didn't know to have that conversation before. I didn't know what my limits were for like how much time do I need to produce a professional product? Like what information do I need to be able to do the job that I'm expected to do and when do I need it? And so thinking through those kinds of things, gosh, that was one of the experiences that shaped me. It was, you know, on the ladder. So now in the contract, it's just, you know, I need to know 4 hours before the, you know, event takes place, which is before I leave my studio. Yes. So I know if I need to like swap out the arbor for urns or something that could be transported inside, outside, or and that if they want to have it outside and that lightning comes up in the middle of it, that it might not be done the whole way, or that, you know, like I'm not going to stand out there in the middle of a lightning storm on the ladder, and then hope that it passes right as you're about to walk down the aisle as I like walk away with like dripping and
like hashtag
safety first for all.
So like, it's like we are just, and if you're, I don't know if you've ever struggled with people pleasing, but it has just been like the bane of my existence since I was a little kid. And so that has bled into my own business practices of just going, I just want them to be happy. I just want them to like me. I just want them to be get of everything they want. And boundaries, man, of you're so right on. And I just want to encourage your listeners, if they are newer designers and they're like, man, I don't have a perfect contract. I make those mistakes. This is a moving target. You know, you can buy, right? You can buy an awesome contract from tons of different floral designers. There's people that sell them. Lots of lawyers do creative contracts now, but the best contract is birthed out of your experience. Obviously, you're going to have, you know, a lawyer look at that, but like you know, I would have did the same thing. I would not have been able to stand up to a client or say, hey, this is a no-go. I'm not going to set your ceremony arch up 4 different times because the weather keeps changing. You know, we make this one time and it's not moving. So those are things I learned over my journey with flowers is, you know, you're not going to know all this stuff. Sometimes it's got to happen. And I think that's okay for you to not have it all figured out it's almost impossible to have it figured out before you do it. You got to just kind of get in there and get your hands dirty and, you know, take workshops and learn from others and try to minimize or mitigate some of the risk involved that you could have, but ultimately you are not, the best lesson is being up on a metal ladder with a broken toe and you were literally soaked head to toe being like, I will never do this again. There you go. That's your workshop information. Thank you for coming. You know, this is my TED talk. It's like, those are just those moments where you're like, okay, cool. I have learned something new about myself today that, I mean, I did, I set that arch up three different times because I couldn't say no to the client. We went in, we set it up. The sky has cleared. Okay, let's take it outside. Let's set it. Oh, it's raining again. Oh, move it out against the sign. And you know, I don't care where you live. Outdoor weddings are unpredictable. And if you are going to do any kind of outdoor wedding, there has to be a clause in your contract that is so incredibly clear about what you're willing to do. And, you know, yeah, we get it. It's a one shot and blah, blah, blah. But as clients, when they choose to have an outdoor wedding, they are assuming the risk for it not to go as planned. And I shouldn't be held responsible, my team and I's safety and well-being. You know, we had other things to do that we were behind on because we were trying to make this client happy. And, you know, of course, it's always like the lowest budget client. You know, it's just like, oh, man, what was I thinking? You know, they cut all the stuff and it's like, oh, like $2,000 wedding. But you're like, man, okay, never again. Hashtag never again. You know, you're just like, anyway, all that to say, and I don't know about you, but I still, you know, these things still come up for me that I'm like, never do that again. That was a lesson. Thank you for learning that. Okay. Thank you for teaching me a valuable lesson about myself. Or, you know, won't now in teaching, it's like, okay, I won't make that deal again. Or that wasn't a good situation. That didn't reflect well on me. So, you know, we're always in this process of figuring this out. And running a business, as you know, is one giant moving target. And so I prefer to have a good laugh and have some grace for myself. You know, I used to be really hard on myself when these mistakes would happen or learning opportunities would come up. I just beat myself up for weeks about it. And, you know, I'm pushing 40 here. And it's like, you know, at some point here in my adult life, I'm learning to just have a sense of humor and some more grace for myself and for others around figuring out how to run a business, how to be profitable, you know, how to make design work that's inspiring for myself and others. And I think that's, and now teaching it to other people. But, you know, I love that you asked that question because sometimes we take ourselves really seriously. I know I do. And just being able to relax a little bit and just recognize, you know, that often we really are doing the very best that we can with what we have, the information that we have, the experience that we have, the knowledge of mechanics that we have, you know, and we're just learning. We're all learning and we're growing and hopefully we're trying to do better. So yeah, thanks for asking that. I think that's a fantastic
and that's a good note to end on, that just keep moving forward, keep learning, keep moving forward. It's been fun to have you as well. And to all of you who are out there listening, thank you so much for your work with flowers. I know we have such a broad community and people working in all different aspects of flowers. And just know that what you're doing is really important. And while it might seem like it's really ordinary or normal to you, know that you are a hero of mine and that all of us working together are making a really big difference in the world. So thank you for the work that you do with flowers. I do think that no matter where you work in flowers, we all share the common task of washing buckets. So the next time that I'm washing buckets, I will cheers you. And we can remember that we are all on the same team, loving the world through flowers, one bucket at a time. So we'll see you next time.
Yes, love that.
If you enjoyed today's episode of the Team Flower Podcast, would you help us by leaving a rating and review? The more ratings and reviews, the easier it is for other flower lovers to find the podcast. Thanks for being a part of Team Flower and helping us build this dream together. We're so grateful.